Podcast One is your one-stop shop for everything TV and pop culture.
A very candid, not even supposed to be on the record conversation.
Check out any of the Collider Network podcasts, like TV Talk, Movie Talk, Collider Live, and more. And for you reality TV fans, Rob's sister Nino's got you covered with Rob Has a Podcast.
This is a podcast about nothing. Yeah. You literally have a podcast about nothing.
Check out the Collider Network and Rob Has a Podcast every week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Hey, Buzzaboo. How's about a bit? Dr.
Drew.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. I want to thank LifeLock at LifeLock.com, promo code Adam, for this show. TheraWorksRelief.com. True Car, and you can download Pluto TV, all your favorite devices as well. Jordan Harbinger is coming back to the show. We'll bring him in a couple of few. There's a question that's after my own heart up there, Drew.
Let's get right to it.
All right. Let me just hit line 6. Chris, 44, Kansas City, or
hey.
Kansas. Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, get it on, guys.
Get this it on, awesome. Man.
Hey, I was listening to the show the other day when you were talking about the kind of alternate cyber thing that a lot of people seem to be existing in now.
Cyber.
I have two little boys.
Cyber world, did you say?
Like cyber plane, I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's almost like a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I have two little boys. I want to raise them to avoid this. And I listened to Not Taco Bell material the other day again. And my kids just love the football stories in it. And I got to thinking that it feels like football for these guys is potentially a solution or a way to steer them away from the path that so many of their little buddies are going on. And my oldest did flag football this year for the first time. He's 6. And it was super lame. They would cancel practices due to bad weather and all this stuff. And he really wants to play.
Kid plays fucking flag football, and the coach is standing in the middle of fucking field the whole game just talking to, 12-year-olds. And then they don't even run a play. I hate to be a dick, but, go to the sideline and signal in plays and learn plays and get a playbook and figure it out. On both teams, the coach just stands out there in the middle of the field.
It's crazy.
And then he's like, all right, Timmy, you do that, and Dakota, you do that, and or whatever. Maybe he's calling a play, but it doesn't really look like it. It's kind of Chinese fire drilly. And I have to sound like the weirdest, angriest, oldest fuck in the world, but I have to explain to my wife, who's like from a planet Massengale, where I have to go, they shouldn't be doing that. And she's like, well, what do you want them to do? You know, have the coach, have it practice, run plays, signal in the plays, run in the guards, swap the guards.
Pardon me. Play football.
Yes, I would like them to play football by the time I was 12, I'd already played 5 years of tackle. We had playbooks. We had coaches. We'd signal in plays. We'd kicked extra points. No one stood on the field. First year, the first fucking year when I was 7, it was called Farm. And the coach, and we're also called the Trobabes instead of the Trojans. A little homoerotic. The coaches stood out on the field for the first year when we were 7. After that, there were no coaches on the field. You'd have to signal in.
I had my kids play tackle when they were 9, and it's all weight controlled, so you're not having high collisions.
You can have high collisions, but they're not teaching them now how to not tackle the head and that kind of stuff.
That's the point. My goal was, much the way I taught them to swim and to ski very, very young, I wanted them to know how to block and tackle and to handle themselves on a football field early, so if they wanted to play high school ball, they would be skilled and they would not be likely to get hurt. And that is exactly what happened. They were quite skilled.
I remember as the captain of the defense, we'd huddle up And the coaches, I could remember doing like 6-1 or 6-1 defense or gap 8 or whatever. Yep. They're signaling in hand signals. They weren't standing on the fucking field.
No. My kids had to learn a playbook at 9.
Ugh.
I'm
disgusted by everything. But what are we doing? So why are we playing football? I don't get why we're not playing football.
But we're all very preoccupied with protecting the heads, right? That the chronic traumatic encephalopathy, you know, is something real.
Gary, you can find a picture of me when I'm 12 or 13 standing on the sideline with Coach Burr, like holding my chin strap, like he's talking to me, like, hey, come here. That was like, time out, go to the sideline and talk to Coach Podley and Coach Burr and have him tell you what you want, not on the middle of the fucking field.
No, it's like a regular football game.
Ugh.
And
such a fucking waste of time.
So I noticed that it really made these kids feel good about themselves, putting themselves in harm's way on behalf of their peers. Now, the question is, at what risk? If it, you know, what do we want to risk to get that
being a
game?
Pussy is a lifetime sentence.
Well, so that's the question. I mean, how much are we willing to risk? And it's real. It's not it's not no risk.
There's Coach Burr, Coach Podley, and it's during a timeout. And they're talking to me about what they want, but they're not going out on the field. They got to tell me, and I got to go back out on
what
the field.
What is with Coach Podley's pants?
It's the 70s, man. He's wearing flares.
Oh, my God.
Give a break. He's a young man.
Oh, yeah, guys. I appreciate that. My kid is absolutely dying to play.
Oh, if he's dying, if he's dying to play football, like my obstacle with my son is he doesn't want to play football, tackle football. He's scared. He's scared because society scared him. Also, it's a little bit of his wiring, but it's also our society is thoroughly freaked him out. So even though tackle football is his favorite game.
Have you gone down there for gladiator practice to see what's going on?
I've asked my son 26 times, would he like to play tackle football?
Just go down there and show it to him. You can walk there from your house.
Okay, but there's this new criteria for being a parent where it's like, you asked your son whether he wanted to play football 26 times, but if you got him in a headlock and dragged him to the field, it's like, no, I haven't, because that was never the criteria. The criteria was, do you want to engage in this behavior? Would you like to play this sport? And if the answer is no for the 26th time, at what point do I quit my job and talk him into playing tackle football?
Well, I'm
like,
just saying,
he doesn't want to play.
It's just a different strategy than asking 50 times. It's showing and then asking.
Well, I'll show, but I think he knows what tackle football is. God bless you, Chris. And look, they'll get so much out of it. This goddamn flag football is a huge fucking waste. And the fact that they have their coach stand in the middle of the field and none of the kids even know what the plays are and they don't have plays and they don't signal it, it's a waste. And they learn nothing.
Adam, it's
they
even
learn
worse than that. The kids run all over the coach.
See, that's not good. That's more than anything else.
Thank you, Chris.
Oh, my God.
You must be living in your utopia now, because this is the world you always dreamt of. You always dreamt of this world. Are you loving it?
No.
Why aren't you fucking running around like Dick Van Dyke and clicking your heels together every second? Because the whole time I've known you, this is the world that you dreamt of.
I was wrong.
You were wrong. I told you we need women think one way, men think another, and we need a balance in that thinking.
Yes.
This fucking thought of let's do it all the way the women think.
I know that
is a huge mistake.
I don't know that I ever said all the way, but I said more of that, and we've gone too far.
Thank you.
I was wrong.
That's right.
Here's something that's not too far. It's Pluto TV, the leading free television streaming service. Watch over 100 television channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. I bet you get Gone with the Wind on Pluto TV.
Ooh.
Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch. You just, right now while I'm speaking to you, you download the app at the App Store, and boom, you've got Pluto TV, and you're immediately looking at this elaborate menu that you get to choose amongst. Easy, legal, and you watch your favorite TV shows, hit movies, and it's all for free. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again. Download Pluto TV on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TV, PlayStation, anywhere else you stream. You should be downloading Pluto TV, and you should be doing it now while I'm speaking. Still, between now and when I stop speaking, you could have downloaded Pluto TV for free and be watching movies immediately, certainly on your phone. And also, don't forget to check out Chassis Channel 501. See all the Corolla documentaries there.
Jordan Harbinger, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Look at this. The Jordan Harbinger show.
My elk bar, Jordan, turned me on to these.
Oh, and the meat bar. Mm-hmm.
The meat bar. Because you're eating bacon out of like a Ziploc bag. I just felt a little bad about it.
I am telling you, this is...
World's worst chew.
This is... is an Onic product called Elk Bar. It is the most significant... I don't call it a crutch. It's the way I manage this carnivore-ish diet. Because if you don't have access to stuff, you always have these bars.
Yeah.
And they're good.
They're really good.
Yeah. And
it's
they're...
Like, what beef jerky smells like, that actually tastes like.
And you eat a half bar, you're full for 3 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Jordan Harbinger Show, new episodes every week on iTunes and Podcast One. JordanHarbinger.com is where I go. Good to see you, my friend.
Likewise.
You may have heard me lamenting about football and flag football and coaches being on the field and the complete waste of time and nonsense it is. I am desperately trying to kind of right the ship, but it's difficult knowing what's going on and the world sort of fighting against you. And we're now at that place. I've realized sort of micro and macro, where you sort of talk about what works and what doesn't work. And then at some point you get called a bully or worse, a racist or homophobe or misogynist or whatever it is, it's going to tend to make those people silenced more often than not. And then we'll go further off in the wrong direction. Thoughts?
I agree. The danger is when you say somebody's a racist for saying something accidental or that wasn't intended to be that way. What words are you going to use for people that are actually racist?
I've always said never been a better time to actually be a racist.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Because now you're in the same camp. You can be like a card-carrying swastika spray-painting member of whatever group, and now you get lumped in with the guy who accidentally cut in front of somebody at Ramshorn.
Right.
Right?
I don't get what the logic of the strategy is for that. I mean, I know it's a sort of immediate gratification of if you're a horrible person of how good it feels to call somebody a racist. Yeah. I don't know why that feels so good to such a large population.
Outrage is the currency.
Outrage porn, yeah.
Outrage gives you status.
I see. I always felt it's the opposite. I've always felt like when somebody said, hey, did you hear that really shitty thing that person said about you, or did you read that super shitty article about you, or whomever, whatever? I always thought the status was going, who? No, I didn't do that. I was working on one of my Newman race cars or something like that.
You used to actually call people who behaved as such, notifying people about things they didn't need to know about, as having personality disorders, remember?
Yes.
You would say that. That was before everybody adopted that strategy.
Right.
Well, here's the way I look at it. And then I was actually I was talking to my sister about this.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Hold on. He never talks about his family, so hang on.
No, but I do have to have these kinds of conversations. That years ago, I was using my three nephews. I think they're all born in Germany, and to a German father with an American sister wife. And I was explaining on Loveline that these kids are no more responsible for the Holocaust than I am responsible for slavery, because my parents were born in Italy and they didn't own any slaves and they didn't even come here to this country. So where's my... what am I supposed to do about slavery? And what are these kids supposed to do about the Holocaust? And they're much closer to that event than I am to slavery. And someone then felt the need to report to my sister that I called my nephews Nazis.
Wow, that's a stretch.
Yeah. And I always thought that is such a personality disorder. Mm-hmm. That's such, when you see someone torture a puppy or do something horrific. It's right up there in my mind. Like, your impulse to take this information, which was actually positive. It was actually me saying, you wouldn't hold them accountable for that. Why would you hold me accountable for this? It's actually a positive spin on this, twisted into he called them a racist, and then do the, I thought you should know. When there's no way she would have known.
Yeah.
That is a horrible personality disorder. It is us at our weakest. It is human beings at their weakness. When they're weak, when they're at their lowest, that's what they do. Now, we used to have a sort of social fabric that prevented that. Basically, you don't get to get on an airplane unless you have a real service dog. But that's all out now the you fucking
can,
window.
Now you can just print it off on your computer right. And be like, how dare you?
So all we're doing is we're letting human beings do what they would do if they were doing their worst. That's what this is, this impulse of I'm going to do what we're talking about. That's just, it's not how was this created. It's always existed. I mean, the notion of, hey, Jordan and I are sitting around, we're talking, and Drew's talking, and Drew says, my phone rang. Let me just go out in the parking lot and talk to my wife. Then Drew walks out the door, and I go, Jesus Christ, that guy's put some weight on, right? He goes, he is not looking good. And then I go, you know, his wife, speaking of his wife, boy, he is pussy whipped. And then you come back in the door, hey, Drew, how you doing, buddy? It's our impulse. We're wired to do that, but decorum would dictate in the past that we didn't, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But now it's on.
It's toxic envy is what it is.
Right. Yes, it is. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. I was talking with Robert Greene on the Jordan Harbinger show, and he and I were talking about envy and toxic envy. And what this really sounds like one of the examples he gave, which is, let's say that you write a new book, and I'm like, oh, you're going to make so much money with your book. It's a backhanded compliment because it's just like, oh, I just thought you should know that Adam said your kids were Nazis. It's not a service. She knows it's not a service. It's designed just like that book compliment, not to compliment the work, but to compliment something that's more base. And what that does is it cheapens everything. So instead of saying,
right, knocking you down,
it's knocking you down.
So, yeah. So jealousy is, you have something I want that makes me feel bad. But jealousy, you could go, so I'm going to work hard to get it.
Right.
With envy, it's like, I'm going to bring them down.
Right.
They have to be destroyed for having that because it makes me feel bad. That's the most narcissistic impulse on earth. Who's Robert Greene?
Robert Greene, he wrote The Laws of Human Nature, but he also wrote The 48 Laws of Power, which I'm sure you probably have heard of. No? Man, this guy, first of all, the 48 Laws of Power is like, it's a huge book in, believe it or not, prison, because it's all these base laws of human nature that are like, if you do this, this is going to happen. People will take advantage of this. So it's almost like a sociopath guide, it's not designed so you can use it. It's designed so you can defend against it because he's just like this really nice genius guy.
I wonder
guy.
If we need to have a little dose of that right now.
I feel like everybody needs to grab that book. But his newest book is The Laws of Human Nature, and one of the chapters is about envy and toxic envy. Mm. And this book is literally, it's a 29-hour audiobook. So it gives you an idea. Most audiobooks are like 7 hours long. It's like this thick.
Drew, do we need, and Jordan, see, I think there's this, I think.
If I just listen to your podcast, will I get it all out?
You'll get some of it.
Okay.
It's a 29-hour audiobook. Go ahead. It's a one-hour podcast.
Here's a narcissistic thought.
Yeah.
Us finding a cure for everything.
Yeah.
This thing of like.
Not being biological.
Yes. There's this thing like where everyone is going, what we need now is for you and me to live our truth and to block out the haters and to block out the folks that want to tear us down and want to do us harm and be within ourselves. And it's like, that's a narcissistic, like, here's the thing. How about you just go on a fucking walk and shut up? Like, I go to the garage and go work on something and shut the fuck up. I go out and go do something. This notion of like, hey, I need to heal myself because here's what's happening. I'm getting all this negative input, and what I need to do is create a cocoon, a protective layer.
Biorhythm.
Or I could just fucking take a walk. Like, we're way overthinking all of this shit.
Oh, yeah.
Shut your fucking computer, shut your fucking mouth, and go out in the fucking garage and build something.
Yeah.
And just shut up. I don't know. I know there's a cottage industry built on now protecting our children from. It's a pretty easy equation. I have a shop. The shop is filled with a whole bunch of guys who just work on cars all day, and they don't know what's going on.
Must be nice.
Yeah, it must be very nice.
They've protected themselves somehow from all the haters and all the negativity and all the people that are trying to bring them down. First off, I love that super narcissistic thought. You know, they're just trying to bring you down.
Right,
like,
exactly.
They don't give a fuck about you trying to bring you down. How about everyone just get the fuck to work? Like, go raise a barn. Believe me, you'll stop thinking about all this shit immediately. I'm not saying, you know, go back to, you know, become a Quaker or Shaker. I'm just saying, or bellyacher. Just saying, get out there and go fucking throw a frisbee to your dog or something. You'd be surprised that this stuff doesn't really exist. It's just a bunch of digital stuff. It'd be like there's 1,000 radio stations going at once, but you don't have to hear any of them if you don't turn your radio on.
Yeah, it just causes us to compare ourselves to other people, which is what creates this illusion of, oh, you're just trying to take me down. No, you just feel bad about yourself because you looked at your friend who you haven't seen in 20 years from high school, and they just had a baby, and you feel bad about that. So now, anytime the next guy says, well, you know, if you thought about having kids, you're like, oh, Drew's always rubbing it in that I don't have kids. No, it's an illusion you created in your mind because you're self-important.
Here's something that needs to be rubbed in, which is a non-greasy foam proven to relieve muscle cramps fast. It is TheraWorks Relief. Plus, with daily, twice-daily use, TheraWorks Relief can prevent muscle cramps before they ever start. And I've been talking about this for a long time. TheraWorks Relief is something that makes a difference for people that suffer from these things. People that have them are desperate. They cannot get through their normal activities. They cannot exercise, and they cannot get through the night without sleep being disrupted. And it's painful. They really do hurt. And having given it to a lot of my patients now, they are extremely happy. They've been giving it to their friends. It's crazy. Holidays around the corner. If you know someone who suffers from these things, you might think about it as a gift. And, of course, talk to your pharmacist. They are as excited as I am because you no longer have to prescribe a medication for these poor folks that are desperate for relief. They just demand medication. Man, and now I don't do that anymore. I just give them TheraWorks Relief. You can get TheraWorks Relief today at Walmart, CVS, Rite Aid, and Walgreens. And you can learn more by going to TheraWorksRelief.com. Do not miss it. It is TheraWorks Relief. Check it out at TheraWorksRelief.com.
Yes. So the notion of protecting yourself or healing yourself is just an extension of the narcissism in my mind.
Yeah.
I hate it when I hear people talking that way. I don't know why it bugs the shit out of me. I'm not interested in hearing about you healing yourself. Just leave.
How about go to work? Never going to age. You're going to live forever. It's very weird stuff. It's very weird the way people think these days.
Well, it's us. If you are unchecked, so I've always kind of used this example, which is if you are dating a girl and you're very much in love with the girl, and then the girl dumps you and you're heartbroken, and then at some point you find yourself at an event, a party, a concert or something, and you run into the girl with her new boyfriend.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the worst.
Now, we used to do this kind of would call the stiff upper lip. Like you'd say hi, then you'd meet the guy, then you'd say very nice to meet you.
You'd be civil.
And then you'd say, and then when the person left, your buddy who you're at the party with, who would go, Jesus, Jacqueline's looking good. Oh. And you'd go, I'm happy for her. And Raymond seems like a nice boy. I wished him well. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, fuck that douche fucker. Fuck him. Fuck that. But we wouldn't do it in the past because you wouldn't want to let your guard down to the extent that you're going like, I worry about how people see me. So I'm thinking in my head, I hope they both fucking die in a fiery motorcycle accident on the way home from this party, but I don't want to be that. I don't want to reveal that about myself.
Because it should be embarrassing.
It should be embarrassing. So you say to the person next to you, I wish her well. He seems like a good fella. I hope they have success. And then you go and like punch a curtain or something. And
But you realize that's your shit, at least.
Right, right.
Now it's like, nope, this is somebody else's fault.
So now you're going to just go out and just sort of purge and go, well, fuck him and fuck her and I got fucked and everyone needs to know your pussy stinks and I'm going on the internet and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, decorum, just think about decorum. Just think about decorum.
Well, you're talking now. You're
for the guy who just yelled "pussy stinks" into a microphone. I'm going to give you guys a lecture on decorum. But decorum was a kind of a glue that sort of it was like it just held it together. Like
people would even go so far as what would the neighbors think?
Right.
What would the neighbors think?
Yes, I cannot.
But you riddle me this. Mm. Do you think this has anything to do? Both you guys, give it a little bit of thought here. That from the 1950s forward. We started glorifying the antisocial.
Yes.
Because, you know, like the kid that we admired was the brooding sociopathic kid who played the guitar and didn't give a shit about anybody, or was the drug addict. And that's the kid we wanted to make student body president. It's the guy the girls wanted to go out with. That was a new phenomenon. Mm-hmm. I don't think that happened before about 1960. And I don't know why we suddenly took the antisocial and glorified it. And part of it was a general antisocial movement, like the man was no good. Yeah. Social mores were sort of – if you go back to Catcher in the Rye, were sort of phony. The word phony had great – I don't know when you were a kid, but that had great currency, the word phony. Mm-hmm. That was the most serious sort of accusation you could level at somebody. And we had to break all that down because it was just phony and nonsense. Well, now we've done it. Now we've done it, right? The decorum and all of that, you always harken back to Don Draper getting ready in the first class of the airplane and dressing accordingly. That would be looked at as like sappy, stupid.
Well, right? Look, the entire system, just the nuclear family, just the just the fact that mom and dad and, you know, she's in the kitchen and he's coming home from work and the kids are together and, you know, this sort of stuff that was we now make fun of. Right. We used to, so it's an interesting thing. We used to make fun of that there was a sitcom
version. It was too phony.
Like Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah, right. So in the 70s or the 80s, if you watch Sanford and Son, they say this ain't Leave It to Beaver, whatever it is. But not the politicians and as a society. As a society, I think we always recognized it was good. It's good to have neighborhoods and white picket fences and family units that are together and moms and dads and doing all this stupid little ritualistic things, going to church on Sunday and going out to watch the football game on a Friday night, like all those things that we look at.
No, then that became the mechanism of male oppression.
Right.
And it takes a village. You don't need a family. You need a village.
Right. And that's when we jump the shark. All right. Let me tell you about LifeLock. Better Business Bureau warns to watch out for holiday scammers, bogus emails with links to lookalike websites and social media gift exchanges, plus grandparent scams, scammers targeting seniors posing as family members, claiming to have urgent issues requiring money. I don't think that's going to work on my parents. Dad asked me to buy him a trumpet the other week.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure if he's got a lot of cash laying around. Anyway, you have your information. It is put out there, especially during the holidays, shopping online, booking travel. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection has the power of Norton Security to protect your devices against cyber threats. If you have a problem, they're going to work to fix it. Right, Drew?
Yes, of course. No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security is the right choice to help look out for the threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code ADAM for an additional 15% off your first year. That is promo code ADAM for an extra 15% off at LifeLock.com.
Do you think the antisocial stuff has to do with the rise of television media showing us the failures in Vietnam? And so we go, okay, the man sucks.
It was part of it. That's where it accelerated. That accelerated the Vietnam thing. It really did.
I wasn't around then, so I'm not sure.
I remember what the Vietnam did more than anything is it empowered 18-year-olds to be the keeper of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still doing that kind of stuff.
Which makes no sense because we have had zero real responsibility. And I say that like I'm 18, but I'm 38 and I've still had zero responsibility for the fate of the country, unlike 18-year-olds in 1969.
Right.
I don't know why I keep thinking about this, but my grandmother, who was a friend of a guy named Harry Hay, who was like pioneer of the modern gay movement, as opposed to, I don't know, the Roman gay movement, Grecian gay movement. But he said, who's gayer, Romans or Grecians?
Greeks.
Greeks?
Yeah.
What are Romans? They got any gayness over there?
Oh, yeah, man.
Did you see that TV show, Roman?
Who's gayer?
Romans? Well, there are more Romans, so I guess technically.
They had those crazy sex parties, yeah, though, right? The back of that seems.
The Greeks. Who's gayer, the Romans or the Greeks?
I don't know. I don't have the data at my.
Well,
say
you
Greeks.
Better find it. Say. You better find it fast.
It's got to be the Greeks because they named the term Greek after specific thing. So either they were first or they were more gay.
Okay, he was not a Roman or Greek, but he was around in 50 years ago. And I remember my grandmother who got caught up in all this stuff too, which is basically Harry Hay was 1912 to 2002. She would say, like, sort of proudly, it was all part of what do you think communism was? American communism.
Yeah.
It's not anyone, it's not anyone liked communism. It's like they're fucking mad at their dad. It was an anti-establishment thing. It's saying I'm a communist wasn't, I love this way of governing. That's insane, especially the most progressive people in the world, why would you want to go against an oppressive regime? Oh, I mean, why would you want that?
You
because you're fucking angry at your dad.
You need to have conversations about millennials, about socialism.
Oh, my God.
It's yes, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But here's the thing. My grandmother, I remember what she said. She'd go, Harry Hay, that guy come in, he'd be wearing a dress, he'd be wearing pearls, and he'd be like, fuck you if you care what I'm wearing. And I'd say, he sounds like an asshole. And she'd be like, what? I was like, sounds like he's angry. And she'd go, he wasn't angry. He's a trendsetter. You know, he's a pioneer. I was like, it sounded super antisocial and super angry. And she's like, gay pioneer. Like, I remember her, like, she got sucked into this rebellious fuck you. I mean, he was doing this when he was 80. But it was a funny thing. And I remember her being shocked when I said, he sounds like a douche.
You don't see RuPaul getting upset.
Yeah, no. That's a good point. She was in his book.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Grandma was down with the gays. But the thing that was funny is, I don't think she liked gay people, and I don't think she liked communism.
She liked the rebellious piece.
It'd be like, if my dad was alive, what would he hate more?
Yeah.
Me being a fruit fly or me worshiping Stalin? I think it would make me equally miserable, or that's what I shall do. But then it's a funny thing I always think of, because it's like, do you even know what you want to do, or are you just doing the opposite of what you think your dead dad would want you to do?
Yeah.
It's a kind of weird part of life, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It has to do with, like, forming your own identity. I don't know why I'm telling you this. You wrote the book on this, Drew. Like, you have to form your own identity, so what you do is you just reject the stuff that you came from, because that's all you know.
Hold on. I'm into cars and building.
Well, think about your dad.
Oh, damn it.
Everything but that.
I got sucked into my own trap. How do I even know who I am, man?
I don't even know you anymore, man, when you talk like that.
I'm floating, dude. Speaking of cars, let me tell you about True Car. Everybody has a story, and so does your car. Want to put a price on those stories? Well, good. Do it with True Car. You can find out what your car is worth, when it's time to sell or trade it in, if you like. You just go to True Car, enter your plate number, and all your car's details will pop up. Answer a few questions. Once you're finished, True Car cash offer gets sent to you within minutes, and then you can take that into your certified dealer and cash out or trade it in. So if you want to go new, or you want to go used, or you want to trade your car in on a new car or a used car, there's a better way to do it. It's True Car. It's True Cash. It's a better way to sell or trade in your car. Check out True Car, True Cash offer. Not available in all areas, but as I'm fond of saying, I bet you don't live in one of those areas. True Car. All right. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and find out where I'm going to be, and Corolla drinks and all that as well. Jordan Harbinger, the Jordan Harbinger Show. New episodes every week on iTunes.
I just got the Robert Greene.
Oh, yeah. Episode. Let me know what you think. He's a genius.
I see you have Kristen Carney on there, too.
I do, yeah.
Nice.
JordanHarbinger.com is where you go to find out more about Jordan. Drew, what do you got?
DrDrew.com. It's all there.
So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Jordan Harbinger and Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.
Stick around for the AP News.